I can make literally anything a competition. My sister and I have a list of K-dramas that we've watched since 2021, which is when I first started watching K-dramas. I am almost embarrassed to admit just how many shows I have on that list and have watched in the last 4 years. I get some sort of inexplicable pleasure from the fact that I have watched marginally a few more dramas than my sister has, despite having attempted 2 sets of exams in the last 4 years, having a day job that requires a lot of time and all the other activities that I have chosen to do, besides the fact that I started a little bit before she did.
Welcome to the Sum of Everything podcast, where we discuss a little bit of a lot of topics, ranging from spirituality to finance and everything in between. I'm your host, Aishwarya, a serial hobbyist with an unquenchable thirst for learning, especially through new experiences. In this podcast, we will scratch every itch of curiosity, explore various perspectives, step out of our comfort zone, and experience sum of everything. Because after all, we are just that, a sum of all our experiences. So let's dive right in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Sum of Everything podcast. Oof, it is officially April, which means that it is the start of a new financial year and also the beginning of a new zodiacal year for everyone who believes in and follows astrology. Also the beginning of spring, and if you're in Bangalore, you've probably seen the beautiful cherry blossoms that have been lining the trees. All of this to say that I can't believe that the first 3 months of 2025 have zoomed past in the blink of an eye. I don't know about you, but the last 3 months have been extremely busy, and I have been super occupied, and I've also been constantly obsessing over all that is to come, constantly forward-looking. I have so many amazing episodes and exciting episodes planned. Brilliant guests, so many travel plans. All of this to say that I haven't taken a pause and reflected on the 3 months that have gone by and instead just been focusing on what I need to do. When I did sit down and think it over, I realized that in the last 3 months, the main 2 things that stood out for me in terms of what I am proudest of is the fact that, firstly, I have managed to, without a break, put out an episode every week in the last 3 months, and I am super proud of that. And the fact that I have more episodes planned for every week for the next 3 months and more is seriously testament to how much I really enjoy doing this podcast. Secondly, I am really proud of how I have grown as a dancer in the last 3 months. And what really struck me was that for one of these things, I have been working day in and day out and thinking about what I want to put out as content and how to go about it, what guests to invite. So much so that I really look forward to inviting guests on my podcast, because doing a solo episode with 20 minutes to fill is a lot more daunting than you think it is. And it's just so much easier when you have a guest and you can have a conversation with them. But also, on the other hand, my dance has taken off in a way that I didn't think it would. Dance is just something that I do for pure joy, something that I try not to miss week after week just so I could get my body moving and do something that I love so much. Now, why were these two the most significant? And why is this episode called what it is? Well, in all honesty, the inspiration for this episode came from an interaction I had at a recent MC workshop that I held. For those of you who don't know, I do a lot of MCing and anchoring, and I also hold workshops where I teach how to up-level your MCing skills. Now, in one such workshop that I held for a Toastmasters club, side note, I'm also a Toastmaster, I was asked a very interesting question. When I was being introduced at the workshop, they said that I am a serial hobbyist, which was potentially taken from the introduction of this podcast. And I don't know if you've actually heard the intro carefully and paid attention to what I'm saying and thought about what a serial hobbyist is, but I'll tell you what I told them. A serial hobbyist is someone who dabbles in a lot of hobbies, but for short bursts of time, and skips from one hobby to another and doesn't really take anything too seriously for too long, and generally just goes about hobby shopping. Well, that's me. If you know anything about me, then it's the fact that I take up an activity and I'm pretty much obsessed with it for a few months, and then I drop it like a hot potato and move on to the next. Also, in line with the title of this episode, I absolutely have to make this confession, because I honestly, in all my hubris, thought that I had coined the phrase serial hobbyist, only to later Google the term and find out that it has been in use for a really long time. And I probably read it somewhere and stored it away in my brain to use it for the introductions here. So, well, there you go. That's confession number one. So yes, back to being a serial hobbyist. When I first Googled the term, I was actually happy to realize that I am not the only person who hops, skips, and jumps from one activity to another while calling it a hobby. It also made me think about something very interesting, though. I noticed that I've been putting in a lot more effort and time and thought into this podcast than I have to any other hobby of mine. Even dance, for instance, in the last few months, I do it more out of wanting to do something for me, for fun, and any improvement that happens is a result of constant practice, but it's not deliberate. However, anything that has to do with the podcast is very deliberate. The choices I make, the guests I invite, the thought I have put into the themes of the episodes month after month, everything is very deliberate. Another thing I realized was that although I have been consistent with this podcast in the last 3 months, I actually started it sometime in June last year. So it's been on my mind for a while, and it has been decidedly and remarkably more long-lived than my interest in any other activity. So the first question that arose, or the first thing I wondered, was why am I treating this podcast differently than anything else? I mean, I called it my passion project, so I thought, shouldn't it have the same kind of life cycle as the rest of my hobbies? And that sort of led me thinking into what the difference was between a hobby and a passion. And one thing led to another, and friends, this is where the story actually begins. I did some Googling, as one does, and, well, I found out that the simple dictionary meaning of passion is an intense and ardent liking for something or someone, whereas a hobby is simply an activity that you do to relax or gain pleasure, and something that is not generally done as a main occupation. So, just for personal pleasure. In the beginning, I thought that's what my podcast was going to be. Just something that I did out of my own interest and something that I did for myself because I wanted to get my voice out there, and I made myself a platform for it. But I have noticed that with the effort and the time that I have put into it, and with the growth that I have seen of this podcast over time, it's metamorphosed into something more than just an interest or an interest-based activity, into something that is very different from all my other hobbies so far. Everything else I have done so far has simply been out of interest and it ended there. For example, on a whim, I bought yarn and knitting needles and learned how to knit off of YouTube videos. Another time, I learned how to do makeup properly from watching, again, YouTube videos, and then held an online workshop for my friends where I showed my friends the right way to highlight and contour, and they sat and watched me make myself up for 2 consecutive weekends and teach them about color theory. I also learned what MBTI personality types are and how to identify a person based on their cognitive functions and behavioral preferences. I know that sounds like a mouthful, and it is, but essentially, I can spend a little bit of time with you and tell you what your MBTI personality type is, and take it from me, it's going to be different from what those tests tell you, because those tests are wrong. They don't test you correctly. In fact, I recently had a discussion about this to a person who simply mentioned MBTI, and then I went off into a spiel about cognitive functions and egos and shadows and superegos, and I don't even think the person was actually interested in everything that I had to say. But, well, that's how deep my research goes into anything that I want to look into, and that essentially defines my hobby cycle. I obsess over whatever my hobby is for a period of time, and I go as deep as I can, or as deep as free resources will allow me to go into, and learn as much as I can about that subject. The rider, however, is that once I have learned a little bit more than average or average level in any particular activity that I take up, I give it up and then move on to the next one. This usually takes about 3 to 4 months. So once I learned how to recognize a personality type, or once I had crocheted a bunch of different things, scarves, skirts, tops, gifts for my friends, I just stopped watching any crochet-related videos or MBTI-related videos and moved on. My family, in fact, often jokes about this and wonders what my next obsession is going to be. I think in the last few years, my most consistent obsession has definitely been Korean dramas. And it has gone so far as to make me learn the language. So now, because of a friend who randomly insisted that I watch one drama that he found amazing, and because I found that actor super good looking and loved the camera work and the plot of the show, I can now speak Korean. I am not fluent in it, but I can speak it. In fact, I have joked and said that a lot of times what starts off as my hobby becomes a passion and even a means to earn some side money for, or becomes a way of life for somebody else in my family. For instance, the obsession with crocheting led to me reintroducing crocheting to my mother, and now she runs her own crochet business. She has an Instagram page called Yarned It, and I will link it, but go and check it out. It's awesome. She makes all kinds of amazing and beautiful crochet stuff. Even my Hallyu craze, it has led to my sister actually going and studying in Korea and living there right now. So honestly, as much as my obsessions contribute to my family's daily dose of entertainment, I think I have made a significant change in a lot of people's lives just by picking up a new hobby. But there is also a flip side to this. Let me ask you a question here. When was the last time you did an activity purely for the pleasure of that activity, without any regard to the result, and without caring about what you look like doing it, or the aesthetics of it for social media, or just to tick a box of what you ought to do? I have noticed, and you're absolutely free to disagree with me over here, but in the last 5 or 6 years, because of how much social media has become an intrinsic, inevitable, and inextricable part of our lives, Having a hobby has ceased to be just that. And it has become more about how good you are at whatever activity you choose to publicize as your hobby. And mind you, these are very considered words. I've noticed that people no longer choose to do an activity simply for the pleasure of it, by and large. And it has become more about whether you're able to post it online, whether the aesthetics of whatever your artistic creation is good enough to be uploaded so that it can garner the attention of the netizens. It has become almost like a competition. And with who, I don't know. But it is a competition. And I consider myself somewhat of an expert in this particular field. Because for those of you who don't know or haven't guessed yet, I am an extremely competitive person. I can make a competition out of literally anything. I'm pretty sure as kids, my sister and I have competed on my suggestion, of course, about who can finish their food fastest, or who can run the fastest, or who can brush their teeth the fastest. And obviously, because they were all self-suggested, it was all things that I could do faster or better, notwithstanding the fact that she was 4.5 years younger and probably a toddler or just a little older at this point, and not very wise for having fallen for any of these suggestions in the first place. But yeah, the long and short of it is I can make literally anything a competition. Let me give you a more current example. My sister and I have a list of K-dramas that we've watched since 2021, which is when I first started watching K-dramas. I am almost, mind you, almost, but not really, embarrassed to admit just how many shows I have on that list and have watched in the last 4 years. And this doesn't even include all the dramas that I have rewatched because I really enjoyed them. I get some sort of inexplicable pleasure from the fact that I have watched marginally a few more dramas than my sister has, despite having attempted 2 sets of exams in the last 4 years, having a day job that requires a lot of time and all the other activities that I have chosen to do, besides the fact that I started a little bit before she did, watching the dramas, I mean. Mind you, this is still a hobby. A hobby that is definitely bordering on obsession, I will not deny, but it is still a hobby. But here's the thing. A lot of times, I watch K-dramas to finish it really quickly so that I can add them to my list. Sometimes, though, I have to re-watch a show to truly enjoy it because the first time around, I was in such a hurry to finish the show because of that weird, insane metric of competition that only exists in my head. The point I'm trying to make here is I turned what should have been a fun, relaxing, entertaining activity into something that was exactly the opposite of that. Does that sound familiar to you? Are you also, like me, guilty of making something that was an innocent enjoyment of yours into something that has become a stressful activity because you have to post it online or prove a point to someone who probably isn't even watching or listening? Hobbies don't have to be that hard. I wonder how many of us stop doing things that we liked just because someone around us or someone online was doing it better. For me, that was singing. I really enjoy singing, but somehow, because my sister is just so much better at it, and I lacked practice for many, many years, and she kept at it, I stopped singing altogether for a very long time because I didn't feel like I was good enough. In my head, I was competing again, and nobody else was in that competition. It was just in my head. Even reading. I used to be such a voracious reader. I loved reading as a child and I would devour books. But sometime during college and when life and adulting took over, I stopped reading as many books and eventually got it into my head that I don't read as fast as I used to, so what's the point if I can't keep up? Keep up with who? Not sure. And then I pretty much stopped. And then when I see people on Book Talk finishing lists of books in a year, Goodreads lists of 50 books that you must read, reading 60 books, 80 books, I get even more demotivated. But ultimately, the loser is me because I'm depriving myself of the happiness that I get from reading because of some insane, unreal idea of what I ought to read like. At this point, you're probably thinking, Aishwarya, what if I want to put it out there? What if I want to talk about how good I am at singing or putting out dance covers or publicizing my art? What if I want to make a business out of it? Well, of course you can. Nobody is stopping you. But what I am saying here is, I am trying to differentiate between what is simply a hobby and done for personal pleasure and what is potentially a passion that you want to deliberately turn into something more than just a hobby and maybe something that earns you a living. I'm sure you've heard the phrase, make what you love most your hobby and what you love second best your profession. You've also probably heard of, if you do what you love for a living, you won't work a day in your life. Between the two, I personally agree with the first one. And I think that's where the difference lies between a hobby and a passion. My podcast has become a passion. Something that I care about very deeply and work towards very deliberately. Something that I don't mind putting in the effort and resources and energy for. I care deeply enough about this to not give it up randomly, to not drop it like a hot potato. But would I make it my profession? The question is, would I turn something that I love so much into something that could potentially become a source of stress for me because it would become my primary source of income? Maybe someday. Because I care about it in a very deliberate manner. Because I want to do something with it. But at this point, at this juncture in my life, I don't think I am willing to take that risk just yet. I quite like my day job, actually. I like being a lawyer. So at this point, my podcast remains just a passion. So it's something that I love the most. And not second best. That said, I don't think there's anything wrong with turning your passion into a full-time job. For example, I have interviewed people who've turned something that they love into their job, like Isha, the hairstylist, who I interviewed during the Women's Day month. I just think that it's important to be prepared with what making your passion your job entails. My podcast is a passion project. It's a side hustle that will hopefully one day generate some revenue. Or even if it doesn't, that's okay. But it'll give me returns in the form of feedback or appreciation or just knowing the fact that there are some people who listened and enjoyed my podcast and hopefully took something away from it. But it's just that. It's a side hustle. I have a lot of respect for those who put everything on the line for their passion. That takes courage. But even then, even for that, I think having a completely unrelated hobby that you do just for yourself is important. If nothing, then just to keep yourself sane. You could love it as much as you love something with passion, or you could love it moderately and just enjoy it while you're unwinding. But it is important to have something like that, something that is not your job, something that is unrelated to whatever can potentially cause you stress. Because in these times, we forget that we don't live to work. We work so we can live and enjoy life. And a life without fun, enjoyment, or pleasure isn't life. It's just survival. So maybe take some time today and reconnect with that part of you that used to do stuff just for pleasure. So while I leave you to ponder that, I'll take this opportunity and sign off. And see you in the next one. Bye-bye.